Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have before you this doorstop today. I chose to bring this doorstop up here today from our church's east sanctuary or east entry door there. It's nothing special per se, this wooden doorstop. I have a picture of one up on the screen as well. This one looks a little bit different. It's a little bit battered and bruised. So I brought it up here. There's nothing special. But now that I bring it up here, maybe there might be a different meaning to it now. I chose to bring this up here. So now it's not unnoticed. It's noticed now. It's not unimportant anymore. It probably seems a little bit more important, this little wood doorstop. It's a simple little doorstop. I've chose it, though, for a purpose today. In our gospel reading from John chapter 15, verse 9 to 17, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." That's what made me think of choosing the doorstop today. Nothing special about this doorstop. So I thought about, well, what was Jesus' purpose when he decided to choose us? You gathered here this morning or listening on the radio or on the live stream. What was Jesus' purpose when he decided to choose us? Well, in our gospel reading from John chapter 15, there's at least three important reasons that I could see for that. Number one, because Jesus wants us to be his friends. Number two, so our joy be complete. And number three, so that we love one another, that we bear fruit of love with each other. The first reason why Jesus chose us is because Jesus wants us to be his friends. Jesus says he chose us. He called us to him. Not only that, he brought us into a unique reality in which we have this relationship with him. It's a relationship of friendship. It's a relationship of friendship. He chose us because he wants us to be his friends. That's what the scripture says. He makes us his friends. I'm thinking in a very unfriending type of era that we live in today. Why do I mention that? Well, every year, the New Oxford American Dictionary names a word of the year. It's a new expression emerging in Americans' conversation. So a bit of history here for you all. In 2018, 6 years ago already, this word unfriend that you see in front of you on the screens was the word put into the dictionary that year. The definition of unfriend is, from the Oxford American Dictionary, a verb that means to remove someone as a friend on a social networking website. And I thought to myself, and I guess I wrote down here, a bad word to be awarded such a distinction, don't you think? Unfriend. Sometimes we need to avoid people. Maybe we need to avoid some companies as well that aren't very friendly, but it's definitely not good news to be unfriended personally, whether in the virtual world or in real life. Unfriend. Jesus here in John chapter 15, verses 14 and 15, see, he calls us friends. And as I thought about the beloved hymn, I wish I would have plugged it in at the sermon hymn, but it was a little late as I put my message together. I'm thinking, what a friend we have in Jesus, right? That old beloved classic hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. We should have sang that one for the sermon hymn, right? Whether in the virtual world or in the real world, he connects to our hearts by faith. And this Jesus, our friend, he doesn't leave us unless we unfriend him. He won't press the button to unfriend us because he's not guided by impulsive emotions. He's not led by the humor of the day to delete us either. The Master gave us his own life for all human beings, which means he's not going to send some of us or you overnight to some spiritual trash bin. The world with the internet and people, they may be hasty in all that they do, but Christ has time for you. All time. So why is it that we became his friends? Questions on the screen there for you. Because of something in us? Because we are beautiful because of our spectacular intellectual abilities? Well, no, of course, you know the answer to that. We're not friends because we're likable. We're likable because he has made us his friends through faith. And it was out of love, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. This is Jesus on the screen. He says, now remain in my love. The love, Jesus says, remains in us. He says in John chapter 15, no longer do I call you servants, but friends. And why is that? What's the main reason? For all I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus is your friend. Talk about intimacy. Talk about unity. Talk about closeness. From our friend Jesus, you see, we hear things from the Heavenly Father. He's not just some energy up in the sky. He's not like a force, you know, yesterday, may the force be with you, you know, or the fourth be with you. And none of that. Our Heavenly Father just isn't some guy up there in heaven. He is the Father and the Son coming close to your heart. Unity, intimacy, closeness. Open arms, free grace, unconditional love, outrageous forgiveness. It's all yours in Jesus Christ, found in his good and gracious gifts, presented without question right here where you are sitting this morning in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. In the Lord's name, the name that is upon each and every one of you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I've been thinking about, you know, all this social networking and the times we live in, and I was thinking, I wonder what, if Jesus had a profile, okay, on social media, what might it say? What might Jesus's social media account say about himself? I put one together for you. It's like this, maybe, perhaps. Here's Jesus' social media account. I was born in a little town named Nazareth and raised in another little one. I'm a pretty easygoing guy who likes outdoor activities, especially walking around. I love people, people in general, all people. I love to help people with their needs in this life. I have a special purpose. And the purpose is to take your burden of sin and by doing so, reconnecting you to the Heavenly Father. And I'd like to connect to everybody. Would he have any friends? Jesus? And then next comment I've thought about that is, what about the comments people would leave on his social media profile? I just wonder, would he have friends? What kind of comments would there be? But what we do know for sure is that he's not just a virtual friend. He's not just some distant fellow. He's not some ironic, harsh commenter on other people's lives, you know, that pop in on social media. This guy, he came to heaven, to earth in flesh and blood to give salvation, peace, and joy to our profiles, if you will, the real ones, not the fake ones. And because he wanted to share his love with all humankind, he launched this social network, if you will, that started with a few people called disciples. And it continues today, and here you are, and part of that social network started so long ago. Far before the internet, far before social media, came an interconnection to humankind itself. Christ, if you think about it, he provided a way to connect all humankind to God in real time. It's called faith. Our great friend, he really went far as our friend. He went somewhere that you and I can't follow him to. He went to there in our place. He went there for us and for you, and he went to the cross. If there's any doubt left about this man's friendship called Jesus, it should have been completely removed right there as he died on the cross. He showed us that he was willing to invest this friendship in the ultimate consequences of death. He paid the price of this friendship with his own blood by forgiving our sins, bringing salvation. He has made us his friend and also friends with one another here in the family of faith. So here is the second reason then, moving on, second reason why he chose us. He wants us, our joy to be complete in this world and beyond. And sometimes we may be left wondering, how can our joy be complete in such a world full of joy stealers, Pastor? Things like financial problems and lapsed family members and anxiety and addiction and hate and despair. And I'm sure each and every one of you in this room could add to the list. We need to realize, though, that Jesus is talking about something different than what the world can offer for joy and happiness. It's not from this world. His joy, his happiness is complete. It's perfect. Think about it. What is happiness and joy in life today? Is it related to euphoric experiences that we have available to us in this life, or is it a way of living? Well, I hope your mind popped in and said the second alternative in your mind's eye, right? The way of living. Happiness and joy, contentment in the Lord. It's not a momentary flashing feeling, an emotion or a euphoric experience. It's not that. You can have that, but that's not what it's based on. Happiness and joy, contentment in the Lord is a constant. It means that we are on the right way by his grace, remaining in his love, like he told us in our reading today, which actually means remaining in Christ. It means to be walking in his way towards the right place, which is heaven. And once on the right way, we enjoy contentment and peace beyond our human understanding, no matter what happens in this world, no matter what may come this way. And if you're in the wrong way, then there's nothing around you that can make joy and happiness last. Euphoric feelings and experience? Yeah, you bet. But hope is fleeting. Everything would just be palliative care, if you will. The truth of the matter is we're all doomed because of sin, are we not? We are, by human nature, leaning away from God, going the wrong way. But I know in our confession this morning, you said it with me. We admitted it, that by nature, we are sinful, we are unclean, and so we are much like this doorstop. Nothing special about it. Nothing special about us either. I love you all, don't take me wrong, but sometimes the truth hurts. We're kind of all like this doorstop right here. I know I look in the mirror every morning and I know who's reflecting back to me. It is a sinner standing there, a broken sinner who by God's grace, though, confesses and realizes every day through God's word, as it says back to me, you did not choose me, but I chose you. You see, I didn't choose God. God chose me, just like I chose this doorstop as I walked by and through the door. I bent over and picked it up. And thanks be to God that he bent over and picked me up too and chose me to be in Jesus Christ like he chose you today. That's why you're here. He chose us so that our joy could be complete, our happiness would lead to contentment, not partial, not more or less, but complete in Christ and because of him. Moving on to the third reason now, getting there. Why Jesus chose us, it's so that we could love one another, bear fruit. Now I have a list up here on the screens. Take a look at the list that's going to pop up here. Which one of these is most important to learn, do you think? Is it math? Is it to drive? Is it to love? Is it using a computer? Is it geopolitics? Is it history? Which one is the most important to you on the list? I hope and pray that you picked to love number three. The most important would be to love, right? All the others, I'm saying, they're important, but they don't rank up as high as love. Love is crucial. This is the glue that cements human relationships together that are intended to last forever. Now let's think about it for a moment. Where do we find the classroom to learn how to love? Because we have classrooms for those other things. We have a classroom for math. We have a classroom for driving, for history, for geopolitics. We have professors and specialized schools to teach us how to use a computer or how to understand nature or how to manage, how to administrate things and 1,000 other things. But if love is number one, shouldn't there be a special place? Shouldn't there be a classroom to learn how to love? Ever think about that? Well, perhaps there's no formal classroom, but there are other rooms, dear friends, where we can learn and practice how to love. How about the living room or the dining room, where family relations can be nurtured, taken care of, treated in love? How about the waiting room, kind of a symbolic area of social interaction, if you will, where we can see each other not as strangers, but as God's created in image people in love? How about the church room where you're in today, where we come together to receive God's good and gracious gifts and then serve each other for the kingdom glory in love? How about the work room? When you go to work, you're establishing relationships with many there. You have the opportunity to show the principle of God in both word and deed in the actions of your life in love. There's so many other rooms, isn't there? So many rooms, so many opportunities to learn. Our God, the one that provides us these rooms, also shows us how to love in these rooms because He Himself shows us. He spoke of love and put it into practice, sending Jesus Christ down from heaven above. And as a student in the Master's classroom is to find that no matter where we are at, no matter what room you may find yourself, God shows us His love. God is love and shows us how to love. This is the fountain of the Father's love. It's on the screen. Jesus Christ and His cross. This is how He sends us to our neighbor. From His love, rooted in Him, steadfast in Him, connected to Him, we are called to show God's love. Not just love, but to show God's love. Because God is love, but listen closely now, not all love is God. God is love. But love is not God. It's not a generic love. It's not something that embraces anything and everything, but it's a true love that comes from the true God. And to love is to bear fruit of faith that God expects us to bear, that He expects us to share, that brings glory to His name. And today then, as we do have Confirmation Sunday, it's a special day that we are reminded, along with the confirmands, that Christ has called us all closer to be His friends, to love one another. Confirmation Day is a day of promise, a day of promising to continue to live a life of Christ that began over at the font of baptism. Confirmed in the assurance that they are friends with Jesus by faith in Him, a day of promising that will give thanks to those that have brought Him to the moment at the 10:30 service. That they and all of us, dear friends, are called to Him by faith to live in Him, to bear fruit, to witness to His love, to walk in true joy and happiness towards our eternal place with Him in heaven forever. We're called to be strengthened in His powerful word and sacrament, His true body and blood given and shed that you are about to receive. Friends who He walks with every single day. As I showed you at the beginning and a couple times through this doorstop, whoop, I dropped them. I felt that. I'm just like the doorstop. He gained a different view today, maybe a value in my hands here today, this simple doorstop. God chose us out of grace like I chose the doorstop from the floor as I walked in the door today. And as his gifts gained a different value in my hands today, this doorstop, in God's hands, you, dear friends, are completely transformed. You are loved. You are saved unto heaven. We are sent to bear fruit. Fruit that is completely and unmatched in love. Free grace, unconditional love, outrageous forgiveness. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.